All right, first, thanks y'all for sticking around for the last session before lunch on the last day of the conference. Appreciate it. My name is Sean. This is some research I did as part of my PhD program at North Carolina State. And as Dr. Minka mentioned, I'll be looking at the effect of different legume cover crop species and also different ways to terminate them in the spring for their effects on soil carbon. So this is research that was conducted within an organic setting. Organic farming has been growing rapidly for the last two decades or so. It's forecast to increase in growth in the next several years. And despite that rosy outlook, there are a couple of challenges that growers have to meet, including limited weed control options, and also there's a little bit of a challenge delivering adequate nutrients. So a lot of growers rely on manures, and a lot of people rely on cover crops, which I'll be talking about, to try to meet both of those needs. So cover crops play a lot of important roles in organic farms and in conventional farms too, ranging from disease suppression to helping with erosion and increased water infiltration. But I'll be focusing a little bit on nitrogen availability effects due to cover crops, and also the main focus of today will be some legume cover crops' impact on soil carbon. So even when farmers incorporate a cover crop into their rotation, they still have the issue of trying to maximize such benefits. And one way to kind of modulate any kind of benefits that these crops offer is by terminating them in one of several different ways. So my overall objectives are to compare two different legume cover crops and also a non-planted control, as well as comparing two different non-till methods as well as a more conventional disc till for all these treatments' effects on soil organic matter. And the way I'm doing this is trying to look at different soil microbial activity parameters, ranging from microbial biomass, carbon and nitrogen, mineralizable carbon and nitrogen, soil carbohydrates, and lastly, as a couple of the presenters have talked about, these kind of help to drive aggregate stability, so we're trying to look at aggregate stability as an indicator for longer-term changes in soil carbon as well. So the three treatments I had for ground covers or cover crops were two legumes. We were focusing on legumes because we wanted to really see if there's differences between species with a little bit different biomass qualities, and we also included this non-planted check. So the two species were hairy vetch and crimson clover. And the cover crops were killed in one of three different ways. So this was a polyvectorial experiment. They were either killed with this disc harrow or in one of two non-till methods, either flail mowing — I'll call it either flail or mow in the rest of the presentation — and also this roller crimper, which has received a good bit of talk in a couple of presentations in the organic free conference. Some people were mentioning it too, but what it does is drives over the cover crop and basically crushes it to get to death just by these splines that come in contact with the cover crop in the soil. So this is what you end up with after termination in the late spring. You have a range of biomass distribution over the soil, either with mow, which is pretty finely chopped. The disc plots are obviously chopped up and incorporated as well, and the rolled plots are a pretty continuous mulch over the surface of the soil. You can see this was done at flowering, so there's some red crimson clover and purple hairy vetch in the foreground too. And so in order to assess both the termination methods and the cover crop's potential for soil organic matter change, I was looking at indicators including microbial biomass, carbon and nitrogen, potentially mineralizable carbon and nitrogen, as well as hot water soluble carbohydrates, and lastly, aggregate stability. Also measured a few adaptive properties too. So these measurements were made a couple times over the late cover crop growing season and then during the corn growing season. In 2 years, we planted cover crops in the fall, killed them in the spring, went out and measured these different parameters 1 week before kill, 1 week after, and then again during the corn growing season, 4 weeks post-kill. And this was done in a coastal plain. It was a Wickham sandy loam in about the center, southeast of North Carolina. And now on to what we found. This is a table just kind of summarizing our results. And I'd like to point out the areas I've highlighted in green that I'll be focusing on. We did see a few main effects of both the termination or kill methods as well as the different cover crops. However, there were some temporal dynamics I'd like to discuss a little bit further. And lastly, this kind of curious one termination by cover method or cover that we saw. I'll get to that towards the end. So first, the cover crop results. We did see a spike in mineralizable carbon, so basically heterotrophic soil respiration, in the crimson clover plots at this time point, a little bit after kill, that dropped off toward the middle of the growing season. And we think this difference in terms of elevated mineralizable carbon in the crimson clover compared to hairy vetch might be something to do with the biomass quality. I'll note this was in 2013. We actually had higher biomass in the hairy vetch, but a little bit wider carbon and nitrogen ratios in the crimson clover, so that could be driving that elevated respiration. However, the lower C-to-N ratio vetch did release a good bit more nitrogen, especially right before it was killed, and then at that 1 week after kill measurement. And crimson clover too, since it's a legume, contribute a good bit, and both of these could provide a good amount of nitrogen to the falling crop. So respiration and nitrogen mineralization, fairly sensitive. However, microbial biomass, we didn't really see many striking results, only by looking kind of across both years and across all dates. There's a little bit of an elevation due to crimson clover, with hairy vetch kind of falling in between the non-planted control and the crimson clover. So this might indicate that you might need to include these legumes for a longer portion in a rotation to see elevations in microbial biomass. So that was a little bit about the cover crops. Now for the termination methods. Again, microbial biomass, not super sensitive, and there was a little bit of an elevation in microbial biomass, again, looking across both dates and across both years. When those cover crops were disked in, this is likely just due to a lot more fuel for microbial growth being introduced into the actual soil instead of left on the top with our no-till methods. So we saw this increase in microbial biomass. However, there is some indication this might be somewhat of a transient increase. Might not see it for too long into the future. We saw a termination method by date interaction where the mineralizable carbons of respiration was really only higher right after kill and it had dropped back off by the middle of the corn growing season. So likely some of those fuel sources for growth are starting to kind of die down in the soil. And next, you'll remember I mentioned kind of a curious cover crop effect on aggregate stability. We actually saw, kind of to our surprise, an increase in aggregate stability when you didn't plant a cover crop. And this might be explained a little bit just by looking at this interaction between the cover crop and the ways we kill them. So you'll notice within the non-planted controls, there was actually an influence of that disking. You did see, kind of as you expect, you see a decrease in aggregate stability because of just that physical disruption of the soil, maybe enhanced mineralization of carbon that's already in the soil. But again, this what surprised us is this increase in stability in the non-cover crop plots, at least when they're not disked. Might be something going on there on these short time scales, just with enhanced mineral bonds. Maybe the organo-mineral bonds are not really coming into play on such a, this is basically within one season. It might not be explaining a lot of the variation. So again, one thing we did find too in these basically non-planted plots was a little bit lower soil moisture. Might be some more wetting and drying cycles over the course of the early growing season, basically serving to increase aggregate stability in that case, basically baking the soil into little hardened brick-like aggregates. So that's it for my graphs. I'd like to kind of wrap up. I talked about the cover crop species. We did see some impacts of the two different legumes with a higher carbon and nitrogen ratio. Crimson clover likely sustaining a little bit different dynamic in terms of microbial growth and respiration. Next, the termination methods, again, did affect either microbial biomass with disking, increase in microbial biomass, and also mineralizable carbon. And however, with cover crops, we didn't really see many differences in terms of aggregate stability between the different species, so just, again, that non-cover crop to cover crop comparison. So with that, I'd like to thank all the people that made this possible, staff at the research farms, various labs at NC State, and lastly, my funding source, which was Organic Transitions Program Grant. And if there's a few minutes, I'd love to answer any questions you might have. Yeah. We do. Okay, first question, just when was sampling for aggregate stability? We sampled one time right before termination of cover crops, and then we sampled again 4 weeks out from termination. And then as to the cash crop that was following cover crops, it was corn in both years. That's a good question. You're asking if aggregate stability might be affected by the cash crop itself. In another study I've done, there is, this is kind of guessing a little bit, but we actually saw a little bit higher mycorrhizal growth in a bare ground plot coming from a corn crop. So, and we think that might have something to do with temperature, maybe warming soils or just growing. Just increasing infection and root growth early on in the season from that corn rather than some really direct effect of the cover crop itself. So it's a possibility, but let's see. Yes.
I'm wondering in the control plot whether leaves left, might
so. Sure. So asking about just what the weed situation was like in the non-cover crop plots. There definitely were weeds. We did try to control them I went out with a weed eater and maintained them kind of, you know, every couple weeks to less than an inch or so. So there was an organic matter contribution, but I would say it's probably a lot lower than in the cover crop plots.
Well, with this, we need to adjourn this meeting. I think there is, will be another meeting here. But thank you for all the speakers. And if there is any question, the speaker is here. Please feel free to ask questions.